Let us pray.
Father, we bless your holy name. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Once again, we bless you for men and women that you have found out of their hiding places with your mercy. Thank you for your calling that is sure upon these ones. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that wisdom that is necessary for liberation will flow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Building solid financial structure for ministry. Building solid financial structure for ministry. Now, I want to read a scripture for you. To you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Let me read again. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that has it. Now, you must, if you want to go fast, you want to go far in life, you must understand that honesty is powerful. Okay? Honesty is what? Powerful. Irrespective of your level of anointing, if there is no wisdom for finances, your anointing will not be recognized. The Bible said that the wisdom of a poor man is not heard. Alright? Meaning that if a man claims to have wisdom and people cannot see the result in his life by his ability to move from one point to another, people will not regard the wisdom. Okay? So, if the devil cannot fight a ministry in the area of substance, in terms of spiritual substance, what they give, you will fight them in the area of finance. And many people have been able to win the battle of consecration. They are consecrated unto God. Okay? They are strong prayer warriors, but they are broke. So sometimes we trivialize the battle that goes on your finance. What you do not know is that the devil does not want expression to come on the grace of God upon your life. There are different people, too many people doing things powerfully well. They have good structure. They are trained. They have solid stuffs to offer the body of Christ. But they trivialize the role of money. Sometimes out of the tendency of being over spiritual, let me use religious mindset. Okay, so people use their religious mindset to kill their potential to be blessed financially. The Bible says that if my people are willing and obedient, they will eat the good of the land. Many Christians are obedient, but they are not willing. They are obedient towards God. They obey His principles, but they know how to give. They don't know how to receive. They are not willing. Okay, wisdom has a balance. Don't just do one part and neglect the other. I was speaking the other time about how Abraham prophesied. God spoke to him about his children or his descendants, how they will go into a strange land. And they went to the land of Egypt. But when they were going to that land, it was hunger that took them there. Okay? There was no food. And Jacob said to his children, the children heard that there was food in Egypt, and hunger took them to the land of slavery. Most ministers have entered into their own land of slavery because they are broke. And they have begun to serve under a rich member. They organize vigils there. Because he that controls a man's belly almost controls his life. Sometimes they control his thought. Amen. I said amen. Very important. Don't lose the battle of victory in the area of finance. Okay? Be careful not to do that. Don't make that mistake. Is that okay? If you notice that the ministry you are leading is not doing well financially, and you are blessed with people around you that are doing better financially, learn to ask them. Learn from those that have it working. And be careful to make sure that the people you are trying to learn from, they are people that are doing it God's way. Is that clear? Very important. Okay? So, ministries and ministers need money. You need to be well financed so that there can be expression to what God has given you. Amen. Hallelujah. I said amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you a scripture so you can let's look at the book of Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9. Matthew 6. Then we'll read from verse 9 downward. And then we see some things. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. God gives daily bread. Okay? In that same book of Matthew, chapter number 6, if you go down a bit, and then we look at verse 30 down to 33. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Alright, God doesn't leave his children naked, he clothes them. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So we can conclude according to this scripture that money is not a pursuit. It is a reward. Money is not what? A pursuit. It is a what? A reward. In ministry, money is not a pursuit. All right. People who do ministry for money, they either become occultic or they become very poor. You can't break the principles of God. If you want to do ministry for money, the blessing whatsoever you want to get as a result of that mentality will not come from him. And many, when they become frustrated that it is not forthcoming, they venture into occultism. Okay? Or those others remain very poor. Let me give you an instance. I have seen cases where ministers will hold members down with different ropes of financial commitment and curses around it. You know, here in Africa, people curse a lot. Amen. They curse a lot. Let me give you some instances. I was watching a YouTube video, and I stumbled on a minister who was telling a widow that before he prayed for her, he told her to have a pledge. And then she agreed that if she fails to pay her pledge, everything she has will be destroyed. Now, I looked at the woman. This is a widow. Yeah. And then I think the pledge was that she was to give him a plot of land. And that was the only property he had from her husband before he died. Many ministers, some, don't let me say many, some ministers are thrown away conscience. And let me say this to you. It is not everyone holding the microphone that is on their way to heaven. Jesus said, I will tell some in those days, get behind me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Okay? Some are not part of us. They are here to make merchandise of the gospel. Do you get what I'm saying now? It is very important you note this. Don't see. Let me say this to you. You have a generation to lead. You can't afford to be a weakling in your conclusion. If you really want to be entrusted with deep kingdom matters, you must be strong. Okay? If something is not the way God has ordained it to be able to define it like that. Not everyone in ministry is doing ministry the way God wants to do. There are thieves in this work. As a matter of fact, the reason why the devil is able to throw different javelins and arrows of accusation against the church is because there are some ministers proving him right. Okay? True or not true? Yes. There are ministers proving him right. There are people who prophesy money out of people's bank account. You go to the church and you are squeezed dry. It is not the way of the kingdom. This work here, only dead men prosper in it. You must understand this. Right? Sometimes many of you are very quick to jump out and say you are defending in defense of the body of Christ. Keep quiet. Jesus did not tell you you are the one to defend the body. He said he will build his church. So you must understand when certain things are bad in the body and they need to be purged out, allow the owner of the work to purge them out. Let me say this to you. No move in the body of Christ that is genuinely aligned with the precept of God can be attacked. Any move you see that faces attack, it is because someone has opened the window by creating a false teaching. Why did people attack the issue of giving and tithing in the church? The church went into extreme by telling people, if you don't give tithe, you are going to hell. Tithing is not a qualification for heaven. It is still not determinant for hell. Okay? You must understand. We give because we love God. We give because we are responsible. We give because we are seed of Abraham. So, in most cases, we have some men who have quietly crept in to the church. And in some cases, they occupy vital positions in the society. And when it comes to this issue of position, don't be carnal. Even the devil promised Jesus position. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple. He was ready to make him an high priest. Don't be quick to conclude that because men occupy position, they are doing fine. May God help his church in the name of Jesus. So, while we have people who have crept into the body of Christ with the agenda to monetize God people, brothers and sisters, excuse me, there are people in this body who are here with the sole purpose of service. When we do find such men, it is not too much if we are financially committed. One of the major problems of Christians is that they respect lies than they honor the truth. When people come and lie to them, you see them troop out in their numbers. So many young ministers are under pressure. They've seen that once somebody has one or two gifts of prophecy here, car shows up. Amen. And then they're under pressure. And they start doing things for money. Don't ever mount the pulpit of God with the aim of making money with the microphone. It is stealing. Amen. I said amen. Good. So, the body of Christ is built by Christ. The kingdom is advanced by sons. Amen. Don't forget that. The body of Christ is built by Christ. The kingdom is advanced through sons. He said, pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send laborers into the vineyard. Laborers. In Matthew 28 verse 19, Jesus said, go ye therefore to all nations. In Acts of Apostles chapter number 1 verse 8, said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness in all Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the world. You cannot trek to the uttermost part of the world. Amen. If you want to do ministry on the wings of zeal without proper finances, you will die on time. Amen. I've learned from experience that those who have something solid to break their fasting with find it easy to fast. Ministers who break with Gary, most times they die of ulcer. Amen. Good. And God's work is not to devalue a man. Some Christians are afraid of fasting, not because they hate fasting, but that when the fasting is over, they're still fasting. If you are in that position, the Lord will bring you out in the name of Jesus. You will not beg for bread. You will not struggle to do God's work. I perceive strongly that there are many of you who want to do God's work. You want to really work for God with your finances, but you don't have. Because it is in your heart, it will come to your hand. It will come to your hand. There are people who have been sent to favor you, and the enemy is trying to bring discouragement their way. The Lord will touch their heart. His work will prosper in your hands in the name of Jesus. Brethren, everything that has counterfeit has original first. If people can use the wisdom of this world to merchandise the gospel, there is a kingdom wisdom, a kingdom lifestyle that can be employed, and you will do ministry without having to lie and yet be blessed. Is that okay? If people of this world can merchandise the gospel, they can lie about it. There is the wisdom of the kingdom with which you can employ, do God's work graciously. Don't be quick to conclude that things are not going fine because God wants it to be so. If you conclude that God is the one responsible for the things the enemy is doing in your life, you will prolong your jurisdiction under the influence of the enemy. All right, in Matthew chapter number 13 from verse 21 downward, after seeds were sown to the good land, the laborers and the husbandman woke up the following day and found tares amongst wheat. But the first question is, who hath done this? If you begin to notice things that are not in line with God's plan, okay, don't be quick to conclude that we are going through wilderness experience of this ministry and God wants us to suffer. No. Sometimes it is the enemy that wants you to suffer. I once brought a man for a ministration in the year 2012. And he came with a bike. They call those bikes Jincheng. Jincheng. Now, the bike, you have to tie many things at the back. Tie the Bible with some ropes and all those things. He has one stick with which he holds the bike when he wants to pack it. And I was afraid because I've heard so much about it. But by the time he entered, the summary of his sermon was that he came to teach us how to suffer. And he kept emphasizing, in this kingdom, you have to suffer. In this kingdom, you must suffer. Why Jesus suffered? Paul suffered. This, oh my God. Lord. Brethren. Until a man changes his way of thinking, you can't change his life. After preaching about sufferness, he mounted the bike and we had to push the bike. I can never forget. We pushed it far. Then the bike started. And then with so much smoke. I'm very sure that bike is one of the reasons for global warming. Now, look up. I know that you have heard stories of ministers of God that suffered into ministry. But they got to find out something. And what did they find out? The suffering wasn't necessary. The suffering wasn't what? Necessary. God doesn't use suffering to teach you what his word can teach you. You need to tell yourself the sufferness you are going through is not necessary. Very important. Okay? So, if you have made up your mind that as you are about starting this ministry, you will have to suffer a bit for the first 5 years, I cancel that thought in the name of Jesus. We rescue you from the demon of poverty. You will not suffer. People of God, the kind of sufferness we talk about when it comes to doing God's work is persecution. The price of obedience. Do you understand? Anna couldn't have a child as long as she concluded that it was God that was preventing her from having one. So, if you had sat down, probably because of the people you had listened to, and then you have concluded that, you know, for the first few years of your marriage, things have to be tough. Make sure you are marrying a woman that does not share your mentality so that she can help you out. And I think it is important for ladies to check the mentality of a man before you marry him. Particularly if he's a kind of man that is determined to suffer. Let him suffer alone. Amen. So when he's done suffering, then you will now come. After all, Jesus Christ finished his work on the cross before he talked about the church as his bride. Okay. So let him finish the work of suffering. Amen. Glory to God. Now, it is God's plan that his children, let me show you a scripture quickly, 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, I have told you that there is a difference between a preacher of the word and a witness of the word. A preacher may talk about what the word is saying without evidence. In a witness, there is a proof that the word is true. And that's why we didn't see the word witness mentioned until the Holy Ghost and power was mentioned. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost had come up. And you shall be a what? Witness. Meaning that you are the proof that this reality that God talked about is not a lie. The devil, you see, strongholds are powerful. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and what? Powers. See, strongholds are very powerful. Strongholds are line of thoughts that the enemy has built in your life. So that while you are winning external battles, they will be defeating you internally through those places. Okay? So be careful of strongholds. Sometimes the reason why people have not changed levels is because they are not ready to unlearn in order to relearn. They want to hold what they think they know tightly, and yet they keep dying. So it is God's plan and God's wish that both you and the ministry he has placed in your hands will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, money is important in ministry. Let me quickly give you a few warnings about money. Few warnings. One, as good as money can develop wings and fly away. Okay, be careful with money. People of God, I have seen cases where money destroyed people that wrong doctrines cannot destroy. A young man once walked up to me and said, "Pastor, I noticed that anytime I have money, I feel like cutting people away from my life." He said, "So, Pastor, I don't understand." I said, "Me, I understand. That is called the spirit of poverty. Because eventually, money, as powerful as it is, it can't do all things. Money can buy faithful friends. Money can buy faithful followers. Money is not all powerful. It is good, but not all powerful." Okay, few warnings about money. There are three things a man must be careful about in life: money, women, and pride. Put this on your top list, okay? You must succeed in these three areas. Don't fail the test of money. Look up. Some of you pray prayers like, "God, test me with 50 million naira and see the kind of heart I have towards you." He has tested you, and that's why you have what you have. Okay? God doesn't need to test you with money. He knows your heart and he knows your capacity. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So don't wake up in the morning and say, "God, you know I love you. Test me. Test me. Just 10 million naira. You'll be amazed at the things I will do." He knows what you will do because he had seen what you did with 5,000 naira. Okay? So he knows what you will do with this one. Be faithful with money. If you are faithful with it, it will multiply. Glory to God. Okay? Number three warning: don't pick your tent around money. See it as a tool. Don't pitch your tent around money. See it as a tool. Be aware that money always seeks to possess the one holding it. Okay? That's a few warning for you. Very important. Money can't buy spiritual soundness. It can buy book. It can't buy understanding. You get what I'm saying? Money can buy a very good bed. It can't buy sleep. Money can buy food. It can't buy appetite. Okay? So be humble. Money is not everything. Is that very clear? Good. Okay? Every ministry needs solid financial structure. Sometimes, ministers are given the commission of ministry and they say that with this commission, this ministry will not take offering. Now, we understand that you are a simple man for saying that. I have been there. Amen. You are sincere. But if you are thinking like that, you are sincerely wrong. Okay? Why should a ministry take offering? Because if the people have been ministered to in spiritual things, allow them to minister back in carnal things. Is that okay? If they have been blessed, allow them to give. It should not be compulsory, okay? But give them the opportunity to. Is that very clear? So don't put structure on your zeal that has not been tempered with wisdom. You say, our own ministry, we don't take offering, we don't even collect anything. We understand your heart is sincere, okay, but you are still wrong. Very important. So set financial structure. When the people have been blessed, give them space to give. Is that okay? Very important. Number two, still on financial structure. Every ministry has projects every now and then. Let every project provide for themselves. In the sense that, let a project provide for itself. If you're having a conference and you already have a money for something else, let the conference provide for itself. Is that okay? Very important. Demarcate boundaries. Is that okay? Very important. If you are a pastor or you are a visionary of a ministry, don't be the one holding money. Let me even say this to you. I learned this years ago about the issue of keeping money. If you have the weakness of being faithful with money and you are keeping money, you are the one tempting yourself, not the devil. Very important. Know your limit. Let there be demarcations as touching the money of the ministry. Separate it from your own. God's money is God's money. Your own money is your own money. Is that okay? Don't put them together. If you eat God's money, it is sandpaper. It can't digest. If while listening to me, you notice that you are owing your church money, they kept money with you and you have spent it, return it. Very important. So let every project provide for themselves. Let there be demarcations about money. The next one. Let there be a structure for giving. Let there be a structure for giving. Okay? Don't just collect everything like an herbalist. Let there be a structure for giving. Okay? Nowadays, different ministries believe in different things. Some believe in tithe. Some does not believe in tithe. Okay? Some believe in first fruit. Some think that it is the law. Nonetheless, let there be a structure. Very important. So, if people are giving tithe, let them come out to give tithe. So, it will not be mixed with offering. I will not assume you know these things. Is that okay? And when people are giving, pray for them. Let me tell you something. If people notice that every time they give, no one is praying for them, they will stop giving. They will be discouraged. Is that okay? Learn to have a session where you pray for people who are giving. If they are giving offering, bless them. If they are giving tithe, bless them. When I was serving, whenever I drop my tithe in the family house, I go to meet the president, I kneel down and pray for. Okay? I believe so much in tithing. Okay. So, let there be giving structure. It is important if you are a minister. Let me talk about now about our own belief system in this ministry. If you are a minister, give your own tithe. And let your ministry give tithe. Alright? Personal tithe and ministry tithe is not the same. Okay? I've noticed that when you do what God asks you to do, you will get to the height He wants to get to on time. Is that okay? Very important. Give your tithe, personally and let the ministry give tithe. Now, because this message is strictly for ministers, and I want to encourage you never to give this message to someone who is not a minister. So some things will not be misunderstood and yet bring and breed offenses in the body of Christ. Is that okay? Good. All right. For example, our ministry gives our tithe to our spiritual father. And we do it monthly. There's a structure for it. Okay, so if you're a ministry and God has placed a priest over you, someone who supervises the ministry, that's the seed you sow. Right? For most ministries, sometimes you see those men use those money for their traveling around and different aesthetics. No true minister of God sit down and indulge with money. Every true minister of God, irrespective of the amount in his account, they are too burdened with the work than to indulge. Is that very clear? Very important. Okay, so give your own tithe and let your ministry give tithe. And see, don't just be the one sowing seed. Let the ministry sow seed. Okay, learn to sow seed from the pulse of the ministry. If you notice you are about entering a new phase, sow. And I'm saying this with all sense of simplicity. All right, in the book of Isaiah 55 from verse 10, as the rain and the snow will not return back to heaven, but it makes it bring forth bud and flourish, that it give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. God gives seed to the sower. I've learned this. Don't be stingy in ministry. Ministries that think they are wise and they are very stingy, you notice that they don't always have. They don't always have. Anytime people ask, they don't have. When you invite ministers of God for your program, invite only the ones you can take care of. Don't invite a man to come and minister in your ministry with the intention of teaching them long suffering. Okay? Don't invite ministers of God to a meeting with the intention of making them suffer. Let me give you my own bitter experience. I went to minister from Nigeria here to Benin Republic. Amen. It was a campus meeting. Now, by the time I got to the place, I'd spent a lot. I even went with an associate pastor. By the time we got there, I was so sick, but I managed to pull through, ministered. It was powerful. By the time we were done, returning back to Nigeria, all right, as at then, my pocket was dry. No partnership, nothing. I was completely broke. So I banked on the fact that I will use the honorarium as transport fare. Experience has taught me, if you are a minister of God, don't bank on honorarium for your transport. Have your transport so you not be offended. Is that clear? Don't bank on what? On, it's a trap. Sometimes your honorarium may be one chivita. Amen. People have different kind of understanding. May God bless their souls. Now, when I opened my honorarium, it was 5,000 naira. Now, not even enough to carry myself and the pastor from where we are, we call it Kalifotunde Motors, to Seme border. Okay? By the time we got to Seme, don't forget I was sick. By the time we got to the border, men and brethren, money finished. I cannot forget. I sat down on the floor in hot sun. My phone was dead, nowhere to go. So we had to beg a woman telling something by the side of the road for me to boost my phone. And then we were able to make one or two contacts. Now, later we found out that the honorarium given for the program, the president halved it into two behind. This is one serious way not to end up well. People of God, don't invite ministers of God to your meeting to suffer them. Okay? Learn to understand that honor is perception of what. You get what I'm talking about? Now, when you give ministers honorarium, you are not telling them that this is their what. But it must be honoring. So do what your capacity can do. Now, it is not every minister you can invite. Is that okay? You want to invite a minister of God from, let's say, from Lagos to Maiduguri, all right, to minister, and you are bringing him to talk for some hours, and then he's still going to minister that day and come by road. Now, as ministers of God, there are some invitations you must not accept. Not because you don't love Christ, but because you want to live long to preach Christ. If you accept those invitations, you will die on time and the body of Christ will still move on. You are going on a far journey. Right? Learn to have structure for your journey. You can't go to some places by road. Go by flight. And tell those hosting you, if they can't afford it, quietly turn it down and celebrate them. Is that clear? Very important. You as a minister have structure for your invited guests. Ministries that suffer invited guests are always poor. Very important. Okay? Still on financial structure. Train your people to be givers. Train your members to be givers. Teach them how to give. Teach them how to give. And make sure you are leading by example. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke 6 verse 38, the Bible said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Listen, we give because we love God. We give because we are responsible. Don't look at Kingdom Project and just take away your eyes. Learn to be a part of it. Is that very clear? Very important. All right. And you as the minister, don't be shy when it comes to teaching your people how to give. If you are shy about teaching them, then you are not a good minister. It means you rather support your ego than to support the stance of Scripture. It is not everything the Bible stands for that you can preach without fear. Is that okay? The proof that you love God is that you are able to defend and speak the word with boldness, even when you are afraid of saying those things. Is that very clear? Very important. Okay? Now, this is not supposed to be a very long session. So, I'll be bringing it to a close by teaching you a few things. Every ministry should have covenant partners. Every ministry should have covenant partners. Okay? Now, if you look at the book of... Don't forget, write it down. Every ministry should have covenant partner. Luke 8, verse 1 to 3. Luke chapter number 8, verse 1 to 3. Now, Jesus did a very clean ministry. Right, he laid emphasis on the things you lay emphasis on, and then he did ministry in a very clean sheet. You get what I'm talking about? With wisdom of God. Now look at it. Luke 8 from verse 1. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing with glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." Now, Jesus was the kind of pastor that when he's going to minister, all right, his entourage are 12 men at least. Now look at this. If you are a pastor that travels a lot, you will know the cost implication of things like this. Okay? Look at it. He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing glad tidings. Look up. Amen. Let me share this story. I remember the time my servant, Pastor Julius, went to preach in Kaduna. Yeah. Traveled from morning till night. Got there around past 12. When we got to the house of our host, the first thing he said was, "Hey, I have forgotten. The shop selling Amala has closed." Hey, God. I was confused. You brought us all the way to come and minister here. How come it is past 12 at night? It occurs to you that these men will eat. Then we got to the house. And then he said, "Hey, I have forgotten that matches has finished." I was like, "God, what is this?" Then we accepted our fate. I think somehow, somehow, we discovered that there was one matchstick left. So we were praying in tongues. "Lord, these matches must work." It worked. And then I think someone was going to ease himself. I said, "Where can I ease myself?" And he brought out a bucket. My head went, "What? Bucket?" Then he said, "No, we don't do that." Then he said, okay, follow me to this corner. And then did the business there. And then I think the following morning we wanted to bath. And then we're asking, "Okay, where can we have our bed?" And then brought out the same bucket. Oh, I looked closely and I made sure, "Okay, Pastor Julius, you go and bath." And I was hoping that, okay, he just bath. I pray in case one of these buckets has been used to you, they just go above. I waited. I made sure I used the same one he used to bath. By adventure, never can tell. Listen, for the sake of the people God has sent you to, be excellent. You might have lived probably most part of your life in the village. Don't continue like that in ministry. Ministers go through a lot. Go through so much. And anywhere you find a minister of God, please learn to appreciate them. Is that okay? I'm not saying you should worship them, but at least celebrate God in their lives. You never can tell what a minister is going through and yet he's still preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Okay? So, now, still on the issue of partnership, I'd like us to, that same place we are reading, verse 2, Luke 8, verse 2. "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirit and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Now, I want you please to look closely at this. Look closely. From verse 2, Bible starts by saying, "And certain women," which women, not woman, women, "which had been healed." So Jesus had impacted these people. Now, what do they do? Verse 3, "And Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." So Jesus had partners in ministry. Is that okay? Partnership is not a sin. You can't do it alone. Partners are burden bearers. Amen. In our ministry, we have partners. And these are very faithful men. Most of them will never know the stress they are relieving us of. You get what I'm talking about? Sometimes you go to some places and everywhere, you need to have your own separate preparation. But thank God for men and women who had caught the revelation that I've been blessed by this ministry, I can give here. Some of them give minute, yes, some of them give much. You must learn to treat everyone equally. But if you watch the strategy of Jesus' ministry, he was walking, but there were people behind the scene, walking alongside. Partners are silent laborers. That is their ministry. Allow them. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now, People can partner with you in ministry in two ways. They can partner with you in prayer and in substance. Okay? Prayer first. That's the most important thing. As a minister of God, you must let your people know that you need their prayers. You hear what I'm talking about? Don't give them the impression that you are far above it. Let them know you need prayers. And then they can partner in their substance. Now, partnership will only flow where impact had been before. Anywhere you have not impacted people, don't expect them to partner with you. Except God is instructing them. Is that okay? So if you want partners, learn to impact the people first. And make sure you are faithful. If you want people to be faithful in partnership, be faithful in impacting them. Be faithful in being a blessing to them. Be faithful in praying for them. Is that okay? Very important. The river must flow in two ways. Now, teach your ministry mentees, proteges, sons and daughters to partner also, so that people will not come from outside or externally and take all the blessings. Train them to be partners. At some point, we're having a project, and one of our ministry sons, who is also a pastor, reached out to me from Port Harcourt, and then he said, "Papa, this project, I want to give to us this project, but sir, that's my last." So I said to him, you will give. You must learn to sow in tears so you can master reaping in joy. Okay? Now when he gave, I still made sure I follow him up and then still give some things back. So he can be, but I had to teach him to do what? Give. Giving is not done only when it is convenient. Is that okay? Good. Okay? What do you do for your partners? Pray for them. Pray for them, that's personally. Pray with them. Pray for your partners, then pray with them. Praying for them is different from praying with them. I'll quickly tell you the difference. Amen. So praying for a people is different from praying with them. You can pray for people without them being there. But when you need to pray with them, please, they have to be there. You get what I'm saying? Mean that you can lay hands on your partners, you can impart them, you can agree with them in prayers. You know what I'm saying? Learn, despite your busy schedule, learn to follow them up to know what they are going through. Is that okay? Sometimes if you are asking for partnership for somebody who is going through financial crisis, if they are not well built on the inside, they may be offended. So follow them up, know what they are going through. Let there be a system that recognizes them. Your partners should not be obscure. Recognize them and treat them as partners. Because really they are working. Amen. Many kingdom partners will never know the effect of their money, but they are working. Is that okay? These are things to do with partners. Be faithful with their money. Don't indulge with it. Ministry partnership seed is not for the minister to indulge. It is for him to work. Now, should the minister also enjoy his ministry? Yes. There is a difference between enjoyment and indulging. Is that okay? Very important. Don't use money to spoil yourself. Use money to work. Money is a tool. Is that okay? Now, in Nigeria, I think we need to demarcate the difference between excellence and worldliness. Money can be a tool for worldliness. It can also be a tool for excellence. But above all, you don't really need money to be excellent. You need a sound mind to be excellent. Money will be a tool that will push it forward. Amen. Can I hear a big amen to that? All right. Let me also give you this instruction as touching financial structure. Have a good structure that takes care of the pastor. Have a good structure that takes care of the pastor. Now, the people who can determine how well the lead pastor is taken care of are the pastorate. All right. And the lead pastor also has the responsibility of building structure that takes care of the pastorate. It is a two-way thing. Is that okay? Very important. Let me give you an instance. There was a time some years ago, I think this ministry, we were trying to build structure, right? Money to just to sow. towards the lead pastor, myself, a while ago. And I think you guys sat down. The pastor sat down. And they agreed on certain amount, right? I was blessed for it. Amen. I've learned not to have sense of entitlement in ministry. It brings you into offenses. And when I went home that night, I didn't know God wasn't pleased with it. And God said, tell your pastors that when they have paid the prices you have paid and they have labored the way you have labored, I will make sure they are receiving that kind of amount. So I told them and they repented from it. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Very important. So you must train your pastorate to learn how to walk in honor towards you. Okay? So the pastors, this is wisdom for associate pastors. Don't ever be on a seat where discussions are going on and then you are the ones sponsoring the motion not to do something good for the man God has placed over you. Those that labor well in word and in doctrine, they are worthy of double honor. Amen? Let's learn that. And you that you are the lead pastor, you need to take responsibility to build structures that will take care of your pastors. Is that okay? Very important. If the ministry can sponsor their vacation, you are at that level where you can do that, please do it with graciousness. Is that okay? Very important. As a minister, you need rest. When you need to rest, you need to be well sponsored so you can recover from all the things you've been doing. I have noticed that ministries that takes care of their pastor, the members flourish on time. Yes, they succeed on time. Ministries that suffer their pastors, people struggle a lot. Don't be part of the motion, the Judas company, that will say that the oil you are pouring on him is too expensive. Very important. Amen. Every ministry need the operation or the ministry of the Martha and the Mary ministry. There was a time I was going through so much tough time from the instruction God gave me. And I went to God in prayer and I said, God, I need Martha in this ministry. And God began to raise me. People started coming up who had the vision. Yes. When God, listen, when a man is faithful in doing what God has called him to do, that God will bless him is a settled matter. Who God will use is a variable. When God moves in your direction, obey. Okay? And I started praying to God, raise matter. God raised people. Is that okay? Indeed, there are people who have received the calling to take care of ministers of God. There are people like that. Very important. You will not suffer. You will not suffer. The Lord will raise matter for your ministry. I speak against that, your current adversity. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus. Brethren, there are people doing God's work well. There are. And they deserve to be honored. The Lord will make sure your honor comes speedily. In the name of Jesus. Every ministry, every minister need the matter ministry. Okay? When people have come to you, God has raised them to be a blessing to you. And then allow them. Allow them. Allow them. Is that okay? Allow them. Pray for them. Honor them. And if you are the kind of person God has laid that burden on for your pastor, do it with the whole of your heart. And you will see that those who give always have. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we set, there are structures God has set in place to take care of his ministers. There are structures. If you are a man receiving a call into full-time ministry, make sure the church is strong enough to take care of your need. Right? If the church enough alone cannot handle it, partners should handle it. Should join. You get what I'm talking about? The need of the minister should be met. Is that okay? Very important. God's work in your hands will not die. The Lord will give you wisdom to build solid structure for your finances. Your ministry has been dragging in this area. You will not drag any longer. The Lord will raise matter for you. He will raise burden bearers. People who will ease your burden. in the name of Jesus. Your struggle is over. Your toiling is over. In the name of Jesus. Your ministry is blessed. It will prosper in your hands. In the name of Jesus. The wisdom needed to be blessed financially in ministry, God will supply it to you. In the name of Jesus. It is so. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.